Customs and Border Protection is finishing up an online metamorphosis. The agency has a new and improved website, and it's pretty cool looking, and the functionality is greatly improved. Melanie Rowe is Assistant Commissioner of the Office of Public Affairs at Customs and Border Protection. Melanie, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. Now, looking cool and working fine and all of that is important, but let's start at the beginning and the functionality that you didn't have before that made you want to do this update. Melanie, thanks for being on today.
Hi, Francis. Thank you for having me. Well, we're really excited about the new site. I think it provides a lot of functionality that we didn't have before. I think that was the most important thing for us, really, was to look at what the users were looking for. We have approximately 340,000 visitors a week to our site. So what we started looking at is what are people clicking on and how are they finding it? So for us, that was really the chief concern in our modernization efforts.
How did you go about conducting doing the metrics? I mean, you certainly didn't just decide over a week what people were clicking on. I imagine there was a fairly long period of lead time that you did some research on this.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say that the process started a couple years ago when the administration issued the digital government strategy in 2012. That was kind of the initial catalyst for this. And then the Department of Homeland Security embarked on trying to upgrade all the websites across the whole department. So that kind of started everything. We looked at the metrics, and we also did a survey to try to find out, you know, what are people looking for.
I give you credit. You've got stuff on here that certainly makes people want to pay attention. There's some terrific pictures of some of the busts that you did around Super Bowl time of the some of the jerseys and stuff that you caught people trying to sell. I'd love the headline, Teen Busted with Meth in Underwear. I mean, you can't lose when you've got that right on the homepage. But the main thing that struck me when I went to it is that you are joining non-government websites in trying to make what you're presenting to people make sense both on a desktop computer and a mobile device. How much of a priority was mobile usability when you did your redo?
Well, you know, we really have a global audience. So for us, it was really important to be able to reach the people that are looking for information. You know, a vast majority, we process about approximately 1 million people a day. So for us, international travelers was a very big audience for us, obviously. So right now, I think about... I think about 23% of the people that are accessing the site now are accessing it on mobile devices.
You have different categories across the top than you had before: newsroom, travel, trade, border security, careers. Was the functionality along those focused on the metrics that you talked about earlier, where you were looking at what people were really clicking on and wanting to bring that to the front?
Well, we actually tried to look at, you know, what was working and what wasn't. So actually those categories were already there on the site, and we figured out that that's what people were looking at and was actually working. But what we figured out is that then when they got into the lower categories, that is where people got lost and were unable to find the information they were looking for. So that's really, we both kept the things that were working, but really looked at where we could improve in providing the information.
Now, you had a money issue here too, because you were working through this process during sequestration, continuing resolutions. I mean, I hear the horror stories about trying to maintain funding, continuity of funding for programs like this. How did you do that?
Well, I think we benefited from the fact that we started this process before sequestration happened. So we had kind of already set aside the funds to do this. It also helped that, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, again, was trying to really do this as an efficiency. And in the end, we will save money just because the whole department will be on the same platform.
And that's where I wanted to go next. Everything that everybody does at agencies across government now has that component. How can we increase efficiency, or how can we save money, or do both? And that's a curiosity I have about this site, too.
Yes, it's definitely, I mean, for us, it really provided us a more flexible tool, something that also, in addition, it allows us to update things much faster. I'm a little embarrassed to say that our previous website was pretty old technology, and it took a long time and lots of different hands and trying in order for us to change things on the web. And now we're able to create those updates very instantly, within minutes. And even in that way, it allows us to save money.
That that is probably the most difficult thing for people to understand, too. I see that here and what our web team does behind the scenes, and it looks so easy and smooth on the homepage of our site and on cbp.gov, but mm-hmm. there's a lot more that goes into that than meets the eye. It's the sausage behind the actual product making.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And for us, you know, we're running ports all across the country, so whenever there's an emergency or anything, we need to get information out to the public as quickly as possible. So when there was a delay of a few hours of updating the site, you know, that's not really acceptable. So for us, that was a very important function.
The international component that you mentioned earlier, the fact that you have so many people coming to you from around the world, mm-hmm. what kind of special provisions did you have to take into account doing that maybe somebody that's working on something within strictly within the borders of the United States might not think of?
Well, I think for us it's really about communicating in simple language the information that people need. You know, you're traveling to the United States. If you're traveling for the first time, what are the things that you need to keep in mind when you're traveling here, and really putting it out and letting people know how to find the information.
The information that you have there now certainly will not be the information, as you mentioned, that will be there forever. What's the strategy that's in place as far as being able to update information? What's the decision-making process that goes into determining the messages that you want to get out to people?
Well, I think, like I mentioned, one is, you know, what do people need to know? Do we have any announcements? Do we have any things that are new that people need to know about? But also it's about, you know, how do we really display the new things that we're doing? Or, you know, like you mentioned, the bus that's the Super Bowl, things that are relevant. You know, what is happening in the news right now that people are interested in? You know, when we had the Sochi Olympics, you know, we heard about, you know, people wanting to bring dogs back to the United States. So that's something that, you know, we put something up immediately to say, this is what you have to consider if you're thinking of bringing a pet back into the United States. So we really try to be as flexible and as current with what's happening and what people might want to know.
Well, please don't ever take down Teen Busted with Meth in Underwear. I mean, the 13-year-old in me I'll be able to read that story every day for the rest of my life.
Yes. Well, happy to bring new ones of those, similar ones to that.
All right. See if you can find headlines that are just like that, Melanie. And thanks for being on the program this afternoon. Great to talk to you, and congratulations on this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.